are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, October the 29th, and the Christian Wood game brings the Pistons back to 500. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. I try to do that verbatim, word for word, most days, and most days I nail it. So I just want to get you guys some consistency in your lives. I know some of you guys need that in the chaotic lives you lead out there, you heathens. But today we're going to run down the things you need to know for Monday's win against the Indiana Pacers. If they could just play Indiana every night, this team would be quite all right. I'm going to give you my three biggest takeaways from the game. I'm going contrarian on one opinion as well, against all you guys, against the stats, against the conventional wisdom, and going to back Dwayne Casey on one of these moves that he made. And also, I'm going to tell you why I'm not crazy about the Pistons' newest nickname that is all over Fox Sports Detroit now as well. You probably know what I'm talking about, and I'll tell you why. But still looking for Halloween costume ideas in for the Detroit Pistons of the present, future, past. Coaches, whoever, give us a call and let us know what they should be dressing up for this Halloween if you got some funny ideas. 810-666-1546 is the Google voicemail line. 810-666-1546. Or if you want to just spout out about whatever you want to spout off with, that's fine too. We will carve out some time during the weeks, especially when we're not recapping games or looking ahead to games, all that good stuff, and we'll let you guys take over, steer the show a little bit yourselves. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Pistons back to 500, 2-2, getting the win on Monday night against the Indiana Pacers in Little Caesars Arena, 96-94, dropping the Central Division rivals to 0-3 on the season. Pistons 2-0 against the Pacers, 2-0 in red-letter games, 0-2 against everyone else, the good and bad teams in the NBA. I'm still calling Atlanta a bad team, maybe after 15 or 20 games. We'll reevaluate that, maybe bump them back into a red-letter team, make some adjustments a quarter way through the season or so about what the red-letter games are. Red-letter games are the most important games that the Pistons will play this season against the other teams that will be jockeying for position at the bottom half of the Eastern Conference playoff race, and towards the top of the non-playoff qualifiers in the Eastern Conference. So that group of teams that we got there, I've made my list of red-letter teams. We'll share that some other day as we go along with the season here. But just so you know, four games in, the Pistons are inside the playoffs at 2-2. I have a hunch that 500 gets you in the Eastern Conference playoffs just like it did last year. Pistons now seventh place in the East, or tied for seventh based on if Charlotte is able to pull off the upset as I record this show against the LA Clippers out west on Monday night. But we said on Monday's show that for this game, someone needed to step up for the Pistons, because you can't expect flawless games night in and night out from Andre Drummond, Luke Kennard, and Derrick Rose to steer the ship without Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson now as well. Well, enter Christian Wood, 19 points and 12 rebounds in 21 minutes, the fifth player in Pistons history with 19 points and 12 rebounds in less than 25 minutes of game action, and the first since JYD, Junkyard Dog, Jerome Williams in 1997. That stat courtesy of Austin Drake, the stat boy for Fox Sports Detroit. I don't mean that derisively. I think that's just kind of one of his tasks there at the station, is to come up with the oddball numbers researcher, all that good stuff. But also for the Pistons, Andre Drummond, 18 points and 18 rebounds, 6 turnovers. Good, not so good. We'll talk about it. Let's talk about it here in just a minute. I don't want to talk too much about Andre Drummond, but I thought the early game post-ups were semi-successful for him, and they kind of kept going to it. We know from watching Andre Drummond all these years that that's not good offense, And does that fall on Dwayne Casey? Does that fall on Andre Drummond? Surely it's a little bit of both, but I'm going to put a little bit more blame into Andre Drummond's kit for this one because, you know, I just feel like it's some of those possessions went down there so early that he's got to know what his limitations are and be able to kick those balls out because it's not like Dwayne Casey says, hey, every time you get the ball in the post, you're going to need to deliver a shot. And obviously a lot of that falls on the players who are posting him up, whether it be a Tim Frazier or other point guards who are delivering that pass. But they got to know that you can pass the ball to Andre anywhere on the court and he's going to be willing and able to move the ball. So, you know, more on the players than the coach on this one. And obviously, Dwayne Casey's got to be coaching him up to work on those tendencies and work on to letting Andre know what he should and shouldn't be doing on the court. But I have talked to Dwayne Casey about this in the past, and he knows for sure that an Andre Drummond post up that's not deep in the paint is not good offense for this team. So he's talked about that publicly, and we all know it with our own two eyes. So I think it's more of a Drummond problem than a Casey problem, but maybe there's something we don't know about that. But anyway, Luke Kennard, 14 points and 4 assists, a plus 10 on the game. Shooting numbers weren't as bad as they felt at the end of the day, 5 of 11 on the night from the field, 3 of 6 from 3, dropped that soft touch on that late 3 that was real big once Indiana had gotten up 4. You know that Indiana's tired of seeing him twice in 1 week like this after he abused them in the Circle City for 30 points. In the opener, Derrick Rose, 10 points and 6 assists, 4 of 16 from the field, 4 turnovers, but the big bucket late to put the Pistons ahead for good. Bruce Brown, 11 points, including 3 of 3 from three-point land. Casey with a funny quote after the game saying about Bruce knocking down the threes, don't quit your day job, referring to Bruce being a defensive player and making it known and making it obvious for anyone watching that as he bottled up Malcolm Brogdon a little bit on a couple possessions down the stretch, which were obviously key for the Pistons getting the victory. Team-wise, 20 turnovers for the Stones, only 4-7 of them. Obviously something that's got to get cleaned up in a major way in the season. But, you know, it's Derrick Rose getting used to his new teammates. He seems like a guy who is going to struggle with the turnover bone or bugaboo a little bit early on in the season. Andre Drummond got the ball in his hands more than probably he will. Certainly he will when Blake Griffin comes back. And Reggie Jackson, a point guard who's used to this team a little bit. And so you would expect that the turnovers as the season goes on to get better for the Pistons. And they will need to if they want to have a successful and consistent season. For the Pacers, T.J. Warren missed a three late in the corner at the buzzer. Also heaved one up wildly on the possession before that when he thought the game clock or shot clock was running out. Not sure what was going on there. But Malcolm Brogdon also missed an open three late. Indiana was a mess. I think the Pistons should have won by more. I wasn't really impressed with any of their top players tonight. This is a team that's going to really struggle, possibly, till Oladipo comes back. They're not nearly the defensive team that they were last year so far in the early going, and we'll see how this all shakes out with Nate McMillan and his crew kind of behind the eight ball more than you would like to think less than 1 week into the season. But one of the reasons that the Pistons struggled, even in the win, in addition to Rose's struggles, which were a big reason as well, the lack of three-point attempts for the Pistons. They shot 13 of 24, 54% from three. This is a thing that is going on right now for the Pistons. They're averaging 26.0 three-point attempts. That's the third least in the NBA, only better than the Indiana Pacers and San Antonio Spurs, kind of the last two quote-unquote non-three-point shooting teams, comparatively speaking. Pistons, although they are shooting 40% from three, so really good there. And we know that some of the hoisters are hoisting, and that's what we like to see. But we'll see how it all kind of shakes out again. The Reggie Jacksons and Blake Griffins of the world, you'd expect to uptick that a little bit, and to them to kind of fall into their normal offense will help matters as well. Pistons without Blake for at least one more game. The smart money is on longer than that, at least this week, I would say. So I would guess at least three more games going into through Saturday against Brooklyn. Reggie Jackson missed this one for the second straight game with his back issues. Sekou Doumbouya, although he is now out of the concussion protocol, according to Casey before the game. So he might be making his NBA debut soon, and we'll see. Obviously, we kind of expect it to be garbage time and maybe even some G League training camp slash early season action for Grand Rapids to get things started for Sekou. But we'll see how that all progresses. And the next chapter coming up on Wednesday, the Pistons head to Toronto. The defending NBA champions, the Coach Casey's former team, the Raptors are 3-1. a team that the Pistons swept in the regular season last year. Obviously, much more about that game on Wednesday's show, but the Pistons will be going to Chicago on Friday. They lost to the Knicks on Monday, a hot playoff pick for a lot of people, the Chicago, but not so good so far. You heard it here that they're not going to be a strong playoff contender much of this season. But the Pistons will be playing in the second half of a back-to-back on Saturday night at home against Brooklyn. The Nets are 1-2. Brooklyn's going to be on a second half of back-to-back as well, so no real rest advantage for either team. And if for some reason Blake Griffin is able to come back this weekend, you know, maybe you debut him against Brooklyn at home as opposed to the back-to-back, and then you can catch Brooklyn tired. Maybe that could work out. Just the strategy. If Casey, if you're listening, might be an idea from your boy Matt here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But Indochino, speaking of great ideas from your boy Matt, the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade, and you know you need to, now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. Go ahead and check it out, Indochino.com, and you use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Up next, I got three main takeaways for you from tonight's game, the win against the Indiana Pacers. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, I am not in love with the newest Piston nickname, and I will tell you why. But first, let's get to my three main takeaways from Monday night. Let's do it in order of importance, ascending. I don't know, whatever. The most important one will come at the end. So we'll start with the rotation talk. I know you guys love to critique Dwayne Casey all night, every night on Twitter and talk about who should be on the court with each other, real important stuff. I did like that Dwayne Casey moved Luke Kennard into the starting lineup. Even when he was bad on Monday, I think it might have made Andre Drummond's life a little bit easier early. He was great. Andre was in the first quarter plus of this game, then kind of petered out offensively and defensively after that. And maybe Luke Kennard being a threat to stretch the floor could have had something to do with Andre Drummond being out there. And, of course, maybe the familiarity of that situation, having some more scorers out there as opposed to the Tim Frazier, Bruce Brown backcourt from Saturday night. Maybe that was a little bit better for Andre Drummond and in turn for the Pistons. For as much as we liked that, it kind of just mitigated the pain. You see, that's kind of the point that I was making. When you have a limited roster that the Pistons have right now with their injury situations, you really only got a handful of good players, a small handful. If you had really small hands, it might be able to fill up your hands. Like if you only had like two or three fingers or something like that. I digress. Nothing wrong with your hands. Don't be ashamed of them. But early fourth quarter, the Pistons had like a really rough lineup out there with like Langston Galloway, Tim Frazier, Bruce Brown were the three guys in the backcourt. Wasn't getting anything done offensively. So you kind of pushed that bad lineup, group you don't really want in most situations that you're going to inevitably have to deal with at some point because of the minute restrictions to Rose, the struggles with Kennard, the foul trouble the other night from Andre Drummond, certain mitigating circumstances that they're going to present these kind of problems. It kind of pushed those bad players and those bad lineups later in the game as opposed to early in the game. And it was kind of falling apart there early in the fourth quarter, allowed Indiana to come back and eventually take the lead. Again, you're going to have talent issues with this roster and with this rotation right now. It's just about more when you choose to have the dry spots of talent, kind of a pick-your-poison situation with Dwayne Casey. And night in, night out, sure, it's interesting to talk about. And I'm not saying don't criticize or that your points aren't valid if you're making them out there. But I just hesitate to go all in about a guy who has won a lot of games in the NBA. And later on, I'm going to tell you about one of the moves that he made that was derided by a lot of you guys that I kind of liked. One that I didn't like in terms of rotations was, once again, Svi Mykhailiuk and Khyri Thomas, second-round picks from last year, guys that the Pistons are going to have to make decisions about. A player in Svi Mykhailiuk, in my opinion, and Khyri Thomas to a lesser extent, that have upsides that could help out this franchise, not only this season, but going forward as well. Those guys, through four games, despite the fact that Reggie Jackson is out and depleted the backcourt a little bit, have not played, have not appeared in one single game yet. All of this despite the fact that Svi Mykhailiuk was seemingly in the rotation during the preseason, playing with the real players, all that good stuff. Khyri Thomas, obviously less surprising, as it seems like the Pistons were nearly ready to move on from him if it wasn't for the fact that Joe Johnson had the elder issues that he was having in the preseason. Another rotation note I wanted to make is I would have, you know, had Snell out there at the end of the game as opposed to Markieff Morris. Snell was in at the very end. Great defense on TJ Warren's prayer at the buzzer. But, man, Keith, you know, yikes. You know, we need more from him. We'll see as the year goes on. But just not getting a lot from the Morris twin so far. But, I do believe Tony Snell could have been inserted into the lineup as kind of a small ball four earlier. And could have helped as opposed to maybe the move that I have a feeling a lot of you guys would have liked down the stretch. Next, main takeaway that I want to talk about, it was more about the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter offense, it was really ugly. We saw early in the season, first three games in particular, Rose knocking down all the mid-range shots, the floaters, the jumpers, all that good stuff. And Andre Drummond, decent job at post-ups, especially in the opener, and then a really good job facing up and driving to the basket in the opener as well. And I just and they also running the Rose and AD high pick and roll in addition to, and some of those turn into Rose pulling up, coming off the screen, and not a lot of other action. I do believe that the Kennard three might have came off a high pick and roll from Derrick Rose and Andre Drummond as well. My point is that these are not great offenses, but it's kind of what the Pistons have to deal with. So things kind of regress to the mean as far as Rose's mid-range shots. He missed them all pretty much tonight until the layup at the very end. But the mid-range stuff missed, and it missed badly. I mean, he was way off the mark. Really ugly game from him shooting the basketball. Andre's post-ups, I touched on that in the first segment. Little success early. Long range, those kind of things end up biting the Pistons maybe more than they help the Pistons because he gets a little confidence going, throws up some hooks at bad times that he misses, and not good for that. And that high pick and roll, again, I don't like it with Rose and Andre Drummond. And again, this might be the best of a bad situation right now. Obviously, Blake Griffin is your number one guy that you want with the ball in the clutch. Luke Kennard coming off of stuff that's worked for other folks, maybe running a little pick and roll with him as well. And then Reggie Jackson to a lesser extent. We've seen him make some shots. I know a lot of you guys are going to pull your hair out if Reggie throws up some more clutch shots later on in the season. But how about Bruce Brown? I'm a broken record, I know. Get him with the ball in his hands a little more. I know that he made his shots today and did an impersonation of someone who could play that role very well, but we know that Bruce is not going to be knocking down three-pointers like that night in and night out at this point in his career anyways. So I just felt like it was a little bit of a mirage that Bruce played that role well tonight. I'd like to see him with the ball in his hands creating a little bit more. I just think that that's how you build this team this season and this franchise going forward, is you're putting people in positions where they could possibly be successful now, but more importantly, grow into something successful, grow into your primary or secondary point guard next year or even later on in the season that you can rely on, especially when all the talk in this first week is about Derrick Rose and watching his minutes. Well, here's kind of a ready-made answer to one of those things, a ready-made answer to your team defense not being very good in that you get Bruce Brown out there, you limit the Derrick Rose and Ish Smith of the past few years and Reggie Jackson, obviously weak defensive players at the point guard position. I think they would help out with that. But we'll move on from that because I know you guys have heard enough from me on that. But the third biggest takeaway, the good, obviously Christian Wood, man, the phenom, probably giving a lot of Pistons fans wood out there at home. But I digress from that. But Christian Wood was outstanding, as we kind of figured. Hard to believe that after that preseason and training camp that Thon Maker was over him in the rotation. We're seeing Thon kind of drift down into the abyss right now at this point. Maybe Blake coming back moves Thon basically out of the rotation. We'll see how that goes. Nothing not to like about Christian Wood, knocking down the threes, running the floor, following up shots, doing just all the stuff we saw in the preseason. And it turns out it translates to the regular season as well. I do have kind of a hunch, especially given that the struggles he had in opening day, and we'll keep an eye on this. I don't have a lot of facts to back this up, but I have kind of a hunch that he might be one of those guys that thrives at home and struggles on the road, but we'll keep an eye on that one going forward. But I will give Dwayne Casey some credit. I will stick up for him against you guys that wanted Christian Wood in at the very end of the game. And I get that he's got Uncle Mo on his side. He had the 19 and 12 playing so well in limited minutes. Probably had some more legs left in him. But let's be honest. You know, he isn't a guy who's built up to play a lot of minutes. He was playing early on in the fourth quarter, so it wasn't like he had a huge rest at that time that you guys wanted to come in there. I also think that Dwayne Casey obviously wasn't super high on Wood in the preseason. We know that it was kind of a late decision for him to even make this roster, despite all evidence suggesting that he deserved it. So I think that there's some trust issues there. And I think that Dwayne Casey, again, we all want to make our knee-jerk reactions and put this guy out there because he's playing well. And Christian Wood, there's a world that exists that he did deserve to be in the fourth quarter. But Dwayne Casey, a veteran coach, has won a lot of games in this league, coach of the year a couple years ago, as we know, has relied on veterans and has used his young players to prove him things throughout the season, throughout his tenure, his time with those players. We are seeing the fruits of that, I believe, with Luke Kennard. That relationship was a little bit rocky at times last year. We were all screaming and yelling for Luke Kennard to get more minutes. But this is one of those situations where I got to hand it to a veteran coach in Dwayne Casey who's been through fires, who's developed players well throughout their careers. Maybe there's a school of thought that, hey, Christian Wood just played 21 really good minutes. Let's keep that confidence up. Let's cash in our chips and say he's played a really good game so far. Let's not risk him missing some big shots down the stretch and having that be a confidence thing, having that become an issue where Casey now has more trust issues with him. I just think that they were playing with house's money and they decided to cash it out. And I respect Dwayne Casey and the coaching staff for doing that. I think that was the right move for not having Christian Wood in the game at the end, despite the fact that he was obviously one of the Pistons' five best players throughout this game. So, wondering what you guys think about that. Let me know. Reach out. But speaking of social media, places to reach out, follow Locked On NBA Net at Twitter. It's a great during the day kind of newsy feed for you, and also during the full slate of games at night, it's unbelievable. Instagram as well, the same handle, Locked On NBA Net, highlighting the biggest stories of the NBA. Coming up next, we're going to talk about a great Axl Rose, also Slash on the guitar, one of the better 90s bands, Use Your Illusion. Great album there. Why are we talking about GNR? We'll talk about that next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and to close out today, let me do my old man bit where I crap on everyone's fun. Everyone's having a good time with this meme, I guess, or whatever we're calling it. The nickname, Guns N' Roses, for Pistons Twitter came up with it. I think Eli might have been the dude out there who might have come up with it, and now Johnny Kane's dropping it. They got Fox Sports Detroit graphics. The reference is to Luke Kennard and Derrick Rose kind of being the bench mob and calling that duo Guns N' Roses. And I'd seen this on Saturday, I think, for the first time, and obviously figured it out pretty quickly what it was. But then as I saw it, as I was driving home, getting back to catch tip-off, I saw some more chatter about it. I missed the pregame show where they might have talked about it a little bit there. But I kind of forgot what Guns was, and then I saw the picture that they had posted on Fox Sports Detroit where it was like showing Luke Kennard's arms, and I was like, wait a minute, what is this anymore? So I posted it on Twitter and was quickly reminded that Guns is because Luke Kennard is a shooter, so he's a gunner. You know, obviously, famously, George Blaha talks about a three-point gun all the time, so more Pistons vernacular-y that he would be called that. But my issue is that Guns is not Luke Kennard's nickname. We've never called Luke Kennard Guns, and someone on Twitter was telling me, oh, well, he's Cool Hand Luke, so it makes a lot of sense because that's a Western about a guy who was a really good shooter. And it's like, well, actually, it's a prison movie, and it's not a Western, so that has nothing to do with it either. But Guns, to me, I played basketball, you know, the first 18 years of my life, and have, you know, followed the game forever. I've never known a shooter to be called Guns. You know what I mean? Like, I've never heard anyone a nickname of a shooter, particularly Luke Kennard, as Guns. And I've heard 100 people refer to Guns as a nickname, and it's always talking about people's biceps and arms. So I think it's a little bit misleading on the start of it, but here's my biggest problem. When you do a nickname like that, something and something, there needs to be a little bit of congruity. So there's no congruity with this nickname. I'm thinking about like Thunder and Lightning used to be Ironhead Hayward and the scat bag that they used to have in the New Orleans Saints that I can't think of right now. So it made sense that the one guy was like Thunder and ran really hard, and the other guy was Lightning because he ran really quick. So that kind of makes sense. So Guns is purportedly a nickname, even though it's not a nickname, for a guy who guns the ball. So it's the present tense of a verb of something he does on the court. So again, we're already a little bit stretching it. The Roses part is not a nickname. It's a player's actual name, but it's not really his name because we've pluraled it and call it Roses. You know what I mean? I get that it's the band. I get, and I'm a Guns N' Roses guy. Don't get me wrong. Love the GNR. By the way, Welcome to the Jungle is like their worst song. I know that's the one that a lot of you guys, the only one they probably know. It's like Bob Seger, old-time rock and roll. If you're not a Bob Seger fan, but you know old-time rock and roll, that's the song you know. But if you're like a Bob Seger fan, you're like, that's actually like one of his worst songs. So anyway, a little bit of music opinion for you there. But like I said, you got Guns, which is like not really even his nickname, and you're turning it into a present about an action he does on the court, and then Roses, not a plural because it's an actual name, so we've changed up what we're doing. There's no congruity. That's where I'm at with it, and I don't think it fits snugly enough. I don't expect it to take off, although who knows? Maybe Pistons Twitter carries it on all year, gets national love, and it's something that we continue to talk about as the season goes on. But let me know what you think. Am I dead wrong? Why does it work? What am I missing here? Would like to hear from you guys, but pretty cool. You know, good to see Pistons Twitter getting a little love on Fox Sports Detroit. Johnny Kane does a great job with that as well. And congrats to Eli or maybe whoever else came up with it and pushed it. And you're getting it out there. And now, of course, you know, this is how life works, right? You get something going, you get a little, you get a notoriety, get even a little bit of fame going. And then there's idiots like me who come out there and tear you down and try to crap on something that you're really proud of. So welcome to fame. Welcome to life in the big spotlight. That's how it goes. There's always going to be people like me trying to tear you down. But people who are not tearing you down are the other people on the Locked On Pistons Podcast Network. I'm sorry, Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On NBA, Rejecting the Screen, and the great Hollinger and Duncan show that I'm enjoying so far this season. Check it out. Weekly shows, a couple of those, daily on the Locked On NBA, twice a week for Rejecting the Screen. Great stuff there. And so that'll do it for our show. This is Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons Podcast saying thanks for listening. We'll be talking Toronto Raptors tomorrow. Looking forward to Wednesday night. And another win. 500 basketball team. We'll talk to you guys.